Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber.
And singer-songwriter Marcy Novelli.
Joining us today, we have Jason Tate, writer, music enthusiast, podcaster, founder of the pop Absolute Punk website, his Absolute Punk Journey, the advice he'd offer to musicians, and what he's working on now. So, hey, Jason, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy. We like to start off the show right away by asking you three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Three things about myself. Well, Daniel, if you know, don't follow anything that I do, I like music. I like the internet and technology, and I'm pretty much a coffee and beer snob.
Cool. Wow, that's the fastest three answers I think we've ever had. Thank you. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Someone asked us, they turned it on us the other week, and I don't even think I could think of one thing.
I had to help Ross.
But then straight after the call, I remembered like lots of interesting stuff.
Well, the easy thing is that seeing as my job's so strange and it's been strange for about 15 years now, I've kind of had to figure out how to answer those questions when people ask me what I do. Right. And especially like, you know, my parents introduced me to their friends. So I've gotten used to answering some of these questions with a little bit of authority.
I love it. So Absolute Punk, we're just going to jump right into it. Okay. How has the site changed from when it first started?
Well, when it first started, it was basically all about Blink-182 and MXPX. I started it when I was 15 and in high school. And I started like right when the internet kind of became like something that you could do at home. Like we were still on dial-up modems at the time. So it was like I was at home in my parents' basement goofing around with this new thing called the internet, like uploading static pages to the internet about like bands. And none of my friends wanted to talk about the music with me. Like it was just basically me listening to like skate punk bands by myself and all my other friends like Pantera, Metallica, bands like that. And I was more drawn to like the pop punk stuff. And so now that the internet kind of became this thing, I was able to find other people that wanted to talk about kind of music. And that's started where it was just like, let me just put some like fun things up about bands that I'm listening to. Blink-182 started blowing up. And then I had like all these other bands I wanted to talk about. Like, hey, this band Sum 41 is pretty cool. And then more people started listening to that band. It sort of just grew from there. And the biggest difference now is that it's a whole lot easier to update things online. The idea that we can sit here and actually have a conversation over video relatively well.
Relatively is, well, although Ross is, looks like scrambled eggs here.
I mean, it's just like the speed and the ability of how, I mean, the difference between trying to make an update and updating static pages by myself and having like a CMS behind posting everything online is night and day, and just how much more I can do on a day-to-day basis, basically.
Well, yeah, you started it definitely way before social media became a thing, before MySpace and everything basically came around. So, like, what do you think the role of AP has in an age of social media now?
Well, I think what's nice about AP, and like, this has kind of been the thing that we focus on, is the idea of community. Like, you can basically find one information we post. Like it's all over the place. There's Tumblr blogs, people posting it on Facebook. Bands themselves have taken such control of their social platforms that they're putting a lot of this information out anyway. And like 5-10 years ago, a lot of bands didn't know like that people wanted information about. Like say they go into the studio, right? And like they're in the studio. People want that information. They want pictures. They want like little sound clips. They want just to know what the band's up to. Like that's something that people kind of have come to expect. And just even a few years ago, people didn't know about it. So anyway, you can find most of this information online, but what you can't find as well is like a dedicated community of people that also want to share and talk about these things together. You can kind of find it like on Twitter, like, you know, say there's like a hashtag that's following like a certain band, you can talk back and forth. But that's, there's a big difference between like checking into a conversation every now and then and kind of seeing like the same names maybe pop up versus on our site, where if you sign up for the site and have an account, like we've got people at this point that have, you know, made hundreds of thousands of posts on the website. So you can have like more of a back and forth, and it just kind of becomes more of a, like just a smaller, with how big the internet is, we're definitely like a little niche of the of one part of like the music community. But that community really is, I think, what differentiates us from just being noise.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, actually. Absolute Punk was like the case study I used in one of my, we call it dissertation. I guess it would just be like an essay or something. So it was for my degree. I chose the subject of writing about the impact. Well, I need to take a deep breath because it's a really long title. The impact of the internet on subcultural musical activity, focusing on hardcore punk and emo. Okay. There we go. That was it. That was
that
it.
That is a mouthful.
Did it?
It is. Oh, it's so long. So my dissertation kind of focused on around how people interacted with each other before the internet in those music scenes, and and it came along, how that changed how people communicated and how they found new music and all that kind of stuff. I used the Absolute Punk forums to do my research. So I posted questions and I was like, so why do you communicate on the forums? Why do you visit a site like Absolute Punk? What has it done for like your life, basically? And it was really cool to see all the responses. And a lot of them were similar to the reason that I started using Absolute Punk, which was, I grew up in a small city. It was a town at the time. It's a city now, but yeah, a small town. And people, you know, it's great.
How much did you weigh at birth, Ross?
1.9 pounds, which is absolutely nothing. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I almost died. Whole other story. You're distracting me, Matthew. The whole reason I started using Absolute Punk was because in the city that I grew up in, I didn't know anyone who liked that kind of music. Mm-hmm. And when I found Absolute Punk, it was just like, it was kind of like a safe haven, I guess, where I could talk about the music I liked without people looking at me going, "Why do you like that? That's not radio."
Exactly.
I think it created a sense of community. I think for me, it's a sense of a community as well as a place to find new music.
Yeah, I found so much new music through Absolute Punk. It was just like you knew one band you liked, and from there you could find another and another and another.
Absolutely.
And my bank balance probably is not happy with Absolute Punk because I spent so much money
thanks,
on music,
man,
and merch.
You're welcome.
Gig tickets, and you know, it's crazy. But
I found the two people that still buy music.
So. Oh yeah, I'm always buying music and merch and yeah. But Absolute Punk is definitely, it's been a very important part of my musical journey, I would say. So thank you for that.
Well, that's exciting. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So, Jason, tell us a little bit about Absolute Punk podcast.
Yeah, well, the podcast is something that is relatively recent. We're recording episode 70 today. So it's been maybe a little bit over year and a half or so. Now we try to do it every week. It started with the idea that I like podcasts, and I started listening to a lot more podcasts probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that was the kind of medium that really excited me in the same way that the internet excited me for the first time. Like, I remember the first time I started kind of, quote, blogging, right? Like, you know, you're putting your words out there, you're writing something, you're editing it. And then as I started exploring this whole, like, idea of podcasting, I really like the idea of being able to talk something out with other people in a way that's just not me kind of like monologuing online. And so I talked to two other staff members, Drew Berner and Thomas Nassif, about like the idea of what if we did some sort of like podcast together? What if we, like, the three of us got together and just started talking about music, talked kind of a little bit about like what sort of things are going on in the music scene right now? Like, is there like a big story that's broken? Can we talk about that? And it kind of evolved from there. We kind of started with more of like an interview type show. We would talk to bands and things like that. But I'm sure, as you guys know, sometimes trying to coordinate that with somebody else is just such a pain. We'd get people like trying to call in, and you know, they're on their iPhones, like on the road. You can just hear the road like in the background the entire time. So we weren't getting like quality. It was like kind of a pain. Trying to get like make sure that we could do it every single week was a pain. So after that, out, like, we kind of decided, like, let's just do a three-man show. It's the three of us talking about what we love to talk about, which is music. We know what we are. We know what we want to do each week, and it's been a whole lot of fun. As I said, still my friends today don't necessarily want to talk about music much with me. So that hasn't changed in 15 years. However, because of the internet, I found people that do want to talk about music with me, and two people that I would consider very close friends. We have differences and similarities, but I really enjoy just being able to sit down and, like, explore these topics with other people each week. It's been a lot of fun.
That's really, really cool, man.
Awesome. Absolute Punk is definitely, it's in my, I subscribe to quite a lot of podcasts, but there's probably three or four that are the ones I most look forward to, and yours and Off the Record with Jesse Cannon and Zach Zarillo. That's another one of my big favorites.
Yeah, I like that our, like, little part of the music world is starting to dive into that more. I think that's cool. I think that the medium is just starting to kind of pick up, and I think that the more people are exposed to it and find things like this, and that's what's cool about podcasts, it's similar to blogs.
So do you have any funny stories of bands that maybe have sent you material, or anyone running into you in real life, or anything whatsoever that would be a little strange, weird, funny, scary, sad, I don't know, more adjectives here?
maybe more recently, so I've been dating my girlfriend now for about 3 years, and right when we got together was right when I was moving down here. I live downtown now. I lived out in a small little suburb before, and right as I was making the move downtown, there was a difference between selling my house, buying the new place, and there was about a week where I basically had to stay in a hotel. So I had just met my girlfriend like a week before I was moving, and I'm staying in a hotel, and, you know, we went out to dinner, and then we were coming back to drop off some stuff, and then we were going to go out, and as I'm in the bed, I look over and a guy kind of looks at me and kind of does this weird thing where he, like, does a double take, and then he kind of goes, "Hey, this is going to sound really weird, but are you Jason Tate?" And I was like, yeah. He's like, "Oh my God." And so he freaks out in the elevator and is like, "Oh my God, I need to get, like, a selfie with you. Like, we got to take some pictures." So has my girlfriend that I, like, we're not even boyfriend and girlfriend at this point. We've known each other, like, less than a week. And is like, "Can I take a picture?" And so we get off the elevator and she's like, "What the hell was that? Like, what, like, who are you? What just happened?" And I, like, barely talked to her about, like, kind of what my job is. And, like, I think we were, like, had not even become, like, Facebook friends or anything. And also she's like, "Okay, and, like, now I got to Google you and kind of figure out, like, what, like, what's going on with this." I was like, "Oh man," I was like, "this never happens. Trust me." Like, this, on the ranking of, like, celebrities, I'm like a D-list at best. She's like, "You have a lot of followers on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter." Just like, "What am I getting myself into?" I'm like, "This will probably be the last time in our entire relationship anybody recognizes me in an elevator." I mean, I type online and people maybe could recognize my voice now with the podcast. But besides that, like, I'm an internet thing. So that was one of those situations where, and as you
put
said,
that,
like,
in your bio, by the way, I'm an internet thing.
I'm an internet thing.
Internet thing. I like that.
Celebrity. Yeah. That's definitely one of the more weird things that have happened.
Oh, that's great.
From, like, a cool standpoint, like, it really comes down to anytime, like, a band, like, I'll meet up with a band and they'll just, like, have to say thank you and say, like, "Thank you so much for, like, you know, talking about us or doing this," or and those are the moments where I just never expected. You put stuff out online, like, you write something and then you hit publish and it goes out there. Band members say that people have come up to them at shows and said, "You know, I found out about your band from absolutepunk.net. Like, you know, Jason was talking about you guys, and so I started listening to him." And for me, like, that's just such a strange feeling, because I'm just sitting there being like, "Man, I'm just a fan of your band. Like, I love what you guys did. Like, thank you. Like, thank you for making the music to begin with." And it's, don't thank me. Like, I just happened to talk about it online one day. Like, I just feel like I shouldn't get the credit for that, you know?
So do you still keep that mentality of where you're writing something, you don't really overthink the fact that, you know, so many people can be reading it?
Yeah, for better or for worse, you know? Sometimes I definitely say things that without thinking about it as much as I probably should. And that's definitely a problem, because that now there are a lot more people reading things that I write.
And I think that it just always came down to, like, I just had something I wanted to say. And so I was like, I'm just going to say it. Like, I'm just going to type it out online. Like, screw it. Let's see what happens. And
yeah, that's what's endearing, though, I think, about Absolute Punk. And I think that's why people are still into it. The honesty,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I would agree. And I do think that, like, a big part of it for me has always been that if people don't trust me, like, if they don't trust that what I'm saying is actually real, we're going to lose, you know, what we have to begin with. Like, because people need to know that, like, if I say I like something, that I mean it. And that goes both ways. Like, you have to have, you know, the counterbalance of saying, if I dislike something, or if I don't like something, or if I feel strongly about a certain topic, that I'm going to speak honestly about it. Because otherwise, you're going to end up just not trusting me at all. And I think that that's way worse.
Well, what sort of advice would you give to musicians and bands and solo artists that would like to be written up on Absolute Punk?
Yeah, so basically I'd say, like, I'd break this up into two portions. One being, like, if you want me to check out your music, or somebody on Absolute Punk to check out your music, versus, you know, trying to promote yourself to the general public as a whole. When it comes to, like, trying to pitch me or one of my writers, what I've always said is that brevity and getting right to the point is really important. Like, if you send me an email and it's got huge intro paragraph, it's got like three paragraphs about who you sound like and putting all these comparisons together, like, we sound like Thrice mixed with Paul Simon if Radiohead mixed them. You know, you get weird stuff like that all the time. I'm just like, that, if it's like, hey, we kind of sound like, you know, Blink-182, at least I know, like, what realm you're in. You don't need to then tell me, like, mixed with Jesse Lacey's vocals. Like, that's just, that doesn't necessarily help me, because, like, I can listen to it and be like, oh, now I can draw these conclusions. So basically what I'm saying is that I like getting information very quickly, something I can scan. If I have to scroll your, like, bio or press release, I'm usually not scrolling through emails. I get way too much email to be like, I'm going to read this entire thing. I want to be able to look at it, skim through, be like, oh, okay, this one sounds like something I should check out, this one doesn't, and vice versa. When it comes to, like, promoting yourself online, I really do think that the first thing is to make sure that you have a good online presence and have good songs. That goes a long way. Like, and I think that making sure you have solid songs, that you've spent a lot of time writing those songs and presenting them in a professional manner, that goes a long way before getting into any of the other nitty-gritty.
I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Definitely. No, I think especially now, the market is so saturated that people aren't putting enough time into developing their craft and, like you said, presenting it professionally. You know what I mean? So great advice. Great
advice.
Yeah,
definitely. And especially, in this day and age, you can sign up for Squarespace, Tumblr. There's a variety of platforms that make it really easy to do. And take the effort and the time to do that.
Do you listen to everything you receive?
Not everything. I just, at this point, like, it's so much. Like, my email inbox is ridiculous. I used to always say, like, I will, at the very least, like, try to go through everything in my inbox. I read everything I get. Like, it's not that I just delete things en masse, but to actually listen to absolutely everything, there's just not enough time in the day to do that, let alone also spend time listening to things that I know I like, you know, because I still, like, love music so much, and it's like, if I find an album that I really like and I want to digest and really get into, I want to spend like a week just listening to that, and I still want to be able to experience that, because that is still something that I'm passionate about. And if every waking hour was just listening to new bands or new things that were sent to me, it wouldn't happen. So I wish that I could, but it's just not a feasible, it's just much.
Yeah,
no, and it makes sense too. Like, you got to grab your, it's just like contacting an AR and A&R or anything like that. You got to grab their attention first, then you got to keep their attention.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Big thanks to Jason for joining us on today's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. Unfortunately, we had some technical issues, so we had to cut the interview short. But if you're interested in finding out more about Jason and what he does, you can visit absolutepunk.net. You'll find him on Twitter at Jason_Tate and also at chorus.fm. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.